Amen. Great singing this morning. That was wonderful. Thank you, Bethany, praise team, and all those that took part in the music this morning. You did a great job. Again, good to see you. Glad you are here. My sincere desire is to teach you and preach the Word of God each and every Sunday. Ultimately, after the illustrations have faded and my wild stories about myself, I pray that the truth of God's Word remains in your mind, because we know the Holy Spirit takes the truth of God's Word and continues to work in all of our hearts each and every day. I pray our hearts are prepared to the receiving of God's Word this morning. We have been in the book of Galatians chapter number 5, and I know I've only been here since July, but you have probably figured out by now that I move very slowly through portions of Scripture. My mind tends to go back rather than forward when I'm trying to teach something, because there's so much that supports the Scripture. I believe in the whole counsel of God, and that the Bible interprets the Bible, and that the Bible gives support for what other verses have to say. And so oftentimes we can go back and find more things throughout Scripture to support what we are learning in Galatians chapter number 5. So just take your Bibles to Galatians 5 this morning. We're going to be in a few places, but if remember where we were, you don't have to turn here, but I mentioned this verse a few weeks ago in Hosea chapter 14 and verse number 8, where the Bible said that in me you will find your fruit. And we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit and understanding what that is. And I have been speaking week after week to help us understand that the fruits of the Spirit are developed and empowered by the Spirit, not by our own power or our own abilities, but by the Spirit of God. And that is the desire of God for every believer. Not just some of you, but every believer, that we live out the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, and that they are developed by His power. And so we've been talking about these different fruits. I told you about the works of the flesh, and we see the idea of the fruits of the Spirit are bookend. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. And then if you go to Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So the whole section between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit are all done by one way, which is walking in the Spirit. And that's called a bookend in Scripture, as we see it starts with the idea of walking in the Spirit and ends with the idea of walking in the Spirit. And everything in between is developed by the Spirit of God. And what is the ultimate idea? So go down to verse 22 in chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. And the Bible says this, but the fruit, and I know, I promised that I would go into the first fruit, which is love. And it is on here, but there's other stuff on here as well, all right? So we got to talk about fruit and the development of fruit and what the Bible talks about fruit being, and what it is that, and how it is that fruit is developed in our lives. So the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit. What is that, and how is that developed in our lives? And we understand just a few notes that are interesting as we talk about the difference between the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. If you remember from earlier, as we're working through this passage, the Bible says the works of the flesh. That is plural, all right? But then he says the fruit of the Spirit. And so what's happening here in this passage is that people that are living according to the flesh are accomplishing different works of that flesh, capable of anyone at any different time. Let me just tell you something that's interesting. In the flesh, oftentimes people say, well, we're free. You're not free in the works of the flesh. You are bound. You are bound by your sin. You may have freedom to choose which sin that you are doing, but you are bound by that choice and bound in those sin. In other words, you can pick your poison, but it is all equally poison. That's the works of the flesh. But the fruits of the Spirit are developed by the Spirit of God. So let's start this morning by seeing what the Old Testament has to say about fruit. This is not something that just happens in the New Testament. These are things that have been spoken of all throughout Scripture, that God is desirous to produce fruit by His power in the life of the believer. So let's go to Psalms chapter number 1. The book of Psalms, chapter number 1, we see this being developed even here. We don't see the exact word fruit, but the same idea is developed. Psalms 1 and verse number 1. Blessed, he says, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or according to the flesh, right? Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Right? Those are ideas of the flesh, understanding of that. But then he says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So now he's talking about the Spirit, the work of God in the believer. And then he says in verse 3, and those that do that, he says, shall be like a tree planted in the rivers by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So Galatians 5 tells us the fruits of the Spirit. Psalms 1 tells us that when we walk in delight in the ways of God, we are like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, I have had perpetually bad luck at growing things. I'm not good at it. Other people I know are very good. Jim and Leslie, our neighbors there, have some trees in their yard, and I have threatened to move our fence just over so I could have the trees that are there in their yard, because I know if I plant one, it will die. My brother-in-law, he gifted me several apple trees, and everyone was excited we were going to get apple trees. This was back in Virginia, and I hit them with the bush hog on the tractor. That's about how my luck goes with growing fruit trees and those kind of things. But everybody knows that a tree with no water doesn't do anything, especially here in Colorado. You understand that. If you're not watering the tree, it will die. And so the Bible is referring here that as a believer, that we are supplied by God. We are given strength through His Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we follow His ways, as we delight in His teaching and His Word, He says we're like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water that does what? That brings forth fruit. So fruit, once again, even in the Old Testament, is instructed as being produced by God, not by ourselves. I had to learn this the hard way, Christian. We have to realize that God is producing the fruit within our lives. The fruit that is produced by Him. And so the psalmist says, if you delight in His law of the Lord and you meditate in His ways, he says you're like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and you bring forth fruit in due season, and whatever you do shall prosper. We find this all throughout Scripture. Now let's go to the New Testament a little bit. Go to Romans chapter 7 and Matthew 13. Let me show you this passage real quick. Matthew 13 and verse number 1. You'll recognize this passage. This is Jesus speaking on the type of soils in which the seed falls into. Matthew chapter 13 in your Bibles. And the Bible says, this is the parable of the sower and the seed. You'll recognize this. But we see the same idea of fruit. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went unto a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, and then he begins the parable. Parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. So the sower is going forth, and he's spreading seed out as the sower goes forth. It's the idea of a farmer that is going forth and spreading seed. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. The wayside was that hard path that was beside maybe a field, and it would fall upon that, and the crows would come, and the birds would come and take them up. Some fell upon stony places. If you continue reading, which we will this morning, you'll find that these soils are represented by the condition of the human heart, right? Some is hard. The seeds come upon it, and it doesn't grow. Some fall upon a stony area. That is a heart that is not receptive to the truth of God's word, as the seed is represented here. And then he says, in verse 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depths of the earth. And when the sun was come up, represented probably by trials, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. And then this is the good ground, verse 8. But others fell on good ground. And what happened when the truth that was being sown fell upon the good ground? What did it do? The Bible says in verse 8, it brought forth fruit. So oftentimes the fruits of the Spirit are an indication on the condition of our own hearts. The seed falls and it's choked by the weeds. The seed falls on a hard heart and nothing happens. And sometimes we say to ourselves, well, why am I not producing fruit in my life? Why do I have no love? Why do I have no joy? Why do I not have these fruits in my life? It all goes back to the condition of the soil of our hearts. Because when the seed fell upon the ground that was receptive, good ground, what happened? Fruit came forth. So in our lives, as we are yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit, as we our hearts are open to the receiving of God's word, as we meditate upon the truth of God's word, we are like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit. Now, you may ask yourself this morning, how do I know whether I'm exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit or the works of the flesh? That's a good question, right? Are you asleep? Everybody okay? All right? Everybody's okay? Those fruits are exhibited, careful, by your behavior. They're exhibited by your behavior and by my behavior. The Bible says that the works of the flesh are evident. Hatred, the Bible says, and emulation and strife and divisions and on the Bible goes. Those are evident to be works of the flesh. And yet the fruits of the Spirit are also evident. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. Against such there is no law. So it is evident in our lives by our actions. They're represented by the works of the flesh or the fruits of the Spirit. If our actions were examined by God, what would He find them to be coming from? Would our actions be coming from the fact that we are a tree planted by the rivers of water that brought forth fruit unto God? Are they actions that have come from a seed that has fallen upon a soft soil or a soft heart that's willing to produce things that God would have them to produce? Or are they actions that are coming from our own flesh and our own desires and our own ways and our own opinions? Sometimes we need to examine our lives, as the Bible says, to see where the fruit is coming from. So now in Matthew 13, as he says, they fell upon good ground and brought forth fruit. Go to Romans 7 in verse number 4. Romans 7 in verse number 4. You say, how in the world are we doing this for one little word in the Bible, right? But the fruit of the Spirit. Romans 7 and verse number 4. The Bible says this in Romans 7 and verse number 4. He says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another. All right? That's talking about our union with Christ. What's one of the reasons that God has done this in verse number 4? Even to him, verse 4 says, who is raised from the dead, that we should do what? The Bible is very clear. Bring forth fruit unto God. Not fruits of the flesh, but fruit unto God. And that's what he says in verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So as a Christian, our desire is to bring forth fruit unto God. Philippians 1:11 says the same thing. The fruit of righteousness. That's being developed by God. Colossians 1:10 says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him, bearing fruit in every good work. And then go to James 3:17. James 3:17 in your Bibles. Look at what the Bible says here, James 3:17. You'll recognize the first part of the verse, but he says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits, he says, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The wisdom from above, he says, is full of good fruits. So the idea is that God desires for us to bear fruits. Now, how do we do this? We know that he wants us to bear forth fruit. Now go to John 15. John 15. I would imagine you will know this passage, and as a Christian, it's familiar to you, but nevertheless, sometimes we forget this is the key to everything that we know and that we do. The Bible says in John 15, Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is, you recognize that if you go to a tree, and again, I'm no expert on these things, but if you cut a branch off, who on here has ever had an experience with poison ivy? We don't have that a whole lot in this area, but in Virginia, it's the state tree, all right? And so I did not know you could get poison ivy from the vine, not just the leaves. I do now. The boys wanted a tree house. I said, sure. I go to the tree. I take a hatchet, and it was a fall time, and so the leaves of the poison ivy weren't necessarily there, and I began to chop the vine off the tree, and I was covered. I can still itch talking about it. Covered in whatever. It was a nightmare. What filled my face, my eyes were almost shut, a nightmare, all right? But you recognize that once I cut that vine, no more leaves form, even in the spring, because the supply was gone. It wasn't there. The poison ivy leaves had died. And the same is true. If you walk to a tree, you probably saw on Facebook our adventures of a Christmas tree this year. It's dead now. It served its purpose. We cut it from its source of life. It set in the house. And Joanna, I told Joanna we could make it a Super Bowl tree. Let's leave it up for a while, right? And then some person made the comment to the boys, I see your big tree in the window every day, and it's after Christmas. And Joanna said, that thing is coming down today. I don't care how much longer, I don't care what it takes, it's coming down today. But once that tree was cut from its roots, it began to die, and it did die, and now it is almost completely brown. And so we recognize the idea of the vine and the branch. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And then he goes down through this, and that beareth not fruit, he purgeth. It's a whole other sermon. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch. Look at what it says, as the branch. Now, careful, Christian. This is where sometimes we get away from God's word. But look at what it says. As the branch cannot, that's pretty clear, can not, he says, bear fruit of itself. Christian, let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried to bear fruit for God by yourself? That's called self-righteousness. Have we tried to bring forth fruit for God without God? Fruit is produced by God. No wonder sometimes our so-called Christian fruits look nothing like God. Because oftentimes they are not produced by Him. They are produced by us as a fake imitation of fruit produced by God. The Bible says, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit that is coming from God and supplied by God. And here He says, abide in Me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. You know that, right? Just explained to you. Cut the branch off from the tree, it's dead. So also, if we try to live for God without the power of God and allow Him to produce the fruits in us, we also will die. He says in verse number 4, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in Me. Verse 5, I am the vine. Just in case you are wondering, He says in verse 5, who are you? You're the branch. Who am I? I'm the vine. The vine supplies the branch. Verse 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And without Me, you can't do anything. Oh, but nevertheless, that's true. Without Me, He says, you can do nothing. I have to look back at my own life and ask myself how much fruit I have tried to produce without God. And I think if you all were to look at your lives, you would find that it's way too often. And no wonder, as I already said, that the fruits as Christians that we label as Christian fruits sometimes look nothing like God because they're not coming from Him. The Bible says, abide in Me, for without Me you can do nothing. So God desires for us to bear fruit. He desires for us to bear fruit by His power. And go back to Galatians now. No wonder that the Bible, the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians chapter number 5 says, walk in the Spirit. Verse 16, walk in the Spirit. In other words, don't you dare try to look at this list and try to perform it without God. He is the one that will produce love in your heart. He is the one that will produce joy in your heart. He is the one that will produce peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, because all these are attributes of Him and not you. They're His attributes. So we need Him to produce them within us. Christian, too often we strike it out on our own. Too often we try to live for God without God. Too often we try to grow without being supplied by the rivers of water that come from Him. Too often we seek to produce fruit in our own lives without the power of God. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and it was talking about the thief on the cross, and how the thief on the cross arrives in heaven, right? And it's a little bit of you're probably saying some things that we don't know for sure are going to happen. But the angel is interviewing the thief on the cross, and he's like, "Now tell me how you got here again." And the thief on the cross is saying different things, and the angel says, "Now tell me about your knowledge of justification by faith." And the thief of the cross says, "I don't even know what that is. Never even heard about it," right? He says, "Well, I want you to tell me about your knowledge of Scripture and the sufficiency of Scripture." And the thief on the cross, he says, "Well, I don't know anything about that either." And the angel finally calls for another angel, and he says, "Well, tell me, how in the world did you get here?" And the thief says this, "The man on the middle cross said I could come. And that's why I'm here. The power of Christ. Power in what he has done. Jesus desires to produce fruit in our lives by the power of the Spirit. Christian, if you can get a hold of these things that I'm seeking to teach you, you will find that living the Christian life is no more a burden, but it's exciting. You will find that there's joy in living for God. You will find that you are set free from the bondage you put yourself under so much as you allow the Spirit of the living God to mold you into what he wants you to be instead of trying to mold yourself. Let God do the work in your life. It's simple as saying, God, I surrender. Make me what you want me to be, and I surrender to your power in my life, and I want you to show me what I should be, and you to empower me to be what I should be. Husbands, you want to be loving to your wife? That's when you say yes. Your wife's looking at you, right? Yes, I do. You do that through the power of the Spirit of God. You want to have joy in your life? You can have that through the power of the Spirit of God, because that's who he is. You want to have peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, all these things, you can through the power of the Spirit of God. You want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season? You can, as you are supplied by the Spirit of God. Now next week, prayerfully, we will talk about the first fruit that the Spirit will begin to form in your life. It's one of the highest commands that God gives. We read it this morning in 1 John. Let us love one another. For he says this, he that loveth not knoweth not God. That is produced, that love will be produced by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads together. Joanna and Bethany are going to come for just a moment. Again, I ask you, I challenge you this morning as they play a song for us. Let's just take a moment. Maybe it's a simple prayer this morning. God, produce fruit in my life. Help me to have soil that is soft to the receiving of your word. Help me to recognize that it's not as much about me as I thought, but it's about me surrendering to you as you produce fruit in my life. As they play for us this morning, take a moment there in your seat. The Lord's spoken to your heart. Just speak to the Lord. Lord, produce fruit in my life. Maybe you need to surrender to the Lord this morning. Lord, I surrender to you. I want you to form yourself in me. Heads are still bowed, our eyes are closed. We're just going to keep playing for just a moment. Who would here this morning would raise your hand and say, Josh, I ask God today to produce his fruit in my life. Would you raise your hand? That was my prayer. I ask him, produce fruit in my life. Thank you. Many, many hands. Oh, Christian, this is when it gets fun to be surrendered to the power of God, that he would form and make us into what he wants us to be. Amen. Thank you. Love that song. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this, for your word. We pray, God, that all of us would have the desire to have your fruit produced in us. Help us to fully surrender to your power in our lives, because we need to recognize without you, we can do nothing. But Lord, with you, we can do everything. And we praise you, God, for these things. Thank you for Ron and Teresa for their desire to join our fellowship here. And I pray that you would bless them and use them at our church. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.